There was a philosophy that arose during the first century, shortly after Jesus' resurrection. You've probably heard of it, something called Gnosticism. And one of the teachings of Gnosticism is that the physical flesh is evil or flawed, and salvation is found in kind of transcending the flesh and focusing on gaining more knowledge and spiritual insight. And in some ways, that's the way we think about spirituality today. And it's surprising and shocking to me when I really think about that, because the early church leaders were very firm about this. They rejected Gnosticism almost as soon as it came up, because it twists the truth about who Jesus is. It says that Jesus wasn't fully human, that he was a divine being who took on human form, which is a distinction between that and being a fully human. We talked about this a few weeks ago, how important it is to understand that Jesus was fully human and experienced life as we do. And so while we may not fully embrace Gnostic thinking, sometimes we almost speak about spirituality in a way that says our bodies are sinful. And it may actually come from the ways that we read and interpret our English translations of the Bible. For example, Romans 8:5-8 says this. It says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. And so when we read that sometimes, when we read flesh, we think about our bodies and what we can do with our bodies, the sinful things that we can do. And it almost equates our physical desires with sinful things. But when you really stop and rest on that passage, it's clear that's not what Paul is saying. And when you dig into the Greek a little bit, you recognize that that word for flesh that we translate is the Greek word sarx. And it can also be translated as human nature. And when you read it that way, when he's talking about the human nature is opposed to what the Spirit desires, he's talking more about our will, our sinful nature. But as I said, sometimes we start to equate our bodies and the things that we can do with our bodies as sinful, and we almost want to reject our bodies. But that's clearly not what God desires. And so as a first step into considering a discipleship of the body, today I would like to take some time to reflect on the value of the human body, the value of what God has created. And the first thing I want to do is consider Jesus himself. Let me just mention this. How did he come into the world? He came in as a human being. And not just the shape of a human. He didn't just drop into this world looking like a human being. He came into the world the same way any of us came into the world, starting out as a single cell in his mother's womb, going through the whole development process of a human body in that womb before he came and had his first breath in this world. John 1:14 declares, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." In Acts 1:9, after Jesus' resurrection, and after telling his disciples they would receive power to be his witnesses in the world, we read, "After this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight." Jesus didn't shed his human body when he resurrected. He rose bodily into heaven and still retains that body today. And all of this says something about the value God has given this flesh that we have. Jesus came in the flesh and remains in the flesh. We've talked about how important that is. As a man, Jesus experienced life in all the ways that we do. He experienced all the joys and sufferings of living in this world, all the temptations and the trials, and yet lived without sin. There's little value in those experiences that Jesus had if he's a divine being who's incapable of sin. But knowing that he was a man, capable of making the same kinds of choices that we do, capable of experiencing the same kind of desires that we do, gives us somebody that we can relate to and know that he can relate to us. He knows what kinds of temptations and shortcomings we face. He can draw close to us, and we can receive his grace and mercy in a new way. And we can learn from him how to live in a way that honors the Lord. We also read in Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21, it says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." So what the Bible declares is that our lives are eternal. Mind, soul, and body. And though our bodies are limited and imperfect and broken by the time we pass from this world, the Bible says that those bodies will be transformed to be like Jesus' glorious body. It doesn't say that we'll be taken away. It doesn't say that we will become spirit, but that we will bodily be with him in heaven. And so as I consider this body that God has created, I can't help but think about how valuable it is to him. And then I can't help but marvel about what an incredible work of creation this body is. The body is capable of some incredible feats. If you just stop and think about it, you've probably heard of all kinds of stories of people doing amazing things, amazing feats of strength, amazing ways that they have been able to bend and use their bodies. And the first thing I think about is something like this. We've seen circus performers who've trained and trained to build strength and flexibility to be able to bend and move their bodies in some incredible ways. Our bodies are capable of these kinds of things. I found just another few examples of some people who've done some amazing things with their bodies. In 2005, a man named Dean Karnazes ran over 80 hours with no breaks. He ran a distance of 350 miles. I know, like, no, yeah, why? I'll tell you why, actually, in just a moment, right? It's a good question. His motivation was to challenge himself to take his life back after an evening of over-drinking, of heavy drinking. He realized how much loss of control over his life, how his life was on a far different path than what he wanted. He had been a runner in his earlier days, and he decided he needed to take his life back. And for him, that meant getting out and running. And I haven't read the full story, but he has a record for the longest distance a man can run. But imagine, your body is capable of running 350 miles without stopping. That's amazing to me. Or then there's Julia Hawkins, who took up running just a few years ago. And just last year, she set a world record for the 100-meter dash. She came in at 1 minute 2 seconds, a little bit slower than she thought she should. And she did that at the age of 105. She began running at 100 years old. Our bodies are capable of amazing things. Or how about another feat, Diana Nyad? At 64 years old, swam over 100 miles between Cuba and Florida in about 53 hours. Many of you probably know this woman, Johnny Erickson Tada. At 17 years old, she was very active in a lot of different sports. She had a diving accident that left her paralyzed from her shoulders down. And while she went through a period of depression and suicidal thoughts, she recognized that God gave her a purpose in life and kept her alive, and she learned to paint by holding the paintbrush in her mouth. She's done some writing with a pen in her mouth, and she is the founder of an organization that does amazing work with disabled people today. And it's just an inspiring person to show that even when something happens to our bodies, to damage them from ever functioning in the way they're originally capable of, you can overcome those handicaps and still make a difference for the Lord in this world. And do things in ways that you never thought possible. Who would have ever thought of painting? And she does some amazing paint artwork with her mouth. Bodies are capable of amazing things. In every one of these cases, and you can find all kinds of other examples, these people set their focus on goals, and they trained and gained abilities to use their bodies in incredible ways. And they just illustrate just what a marvelous gift that God has given us in these bodies that he's provided. Now, with my background, I'm always in awe of the construction and the function of the body. Most of you know, but some of you don't, that my background is in human genetics. Before I went into ministry, I had earned a PhD in human genetics research, and I just love understanding the body from a molecular level, from an anatomic level. And I want to share some of those insights with you this morning. First of all, our bodies are made up of multiple organ systems. You probably know that. We have digestive systems, nervous systems, circulatory systems. All these things function together without us even thinking about them to keep our bodies running every day. They do millions and millions of different functions that we don't even think about, that God designed into you to give you life. Your ability to come here today, your ability to breathe, to walk, to move, to sit, to stand, all of those things were built into this amazing body that you have. And all of these things functioning together. Take a deep breath. As you did that, you drew air into your lungs. The oxygen in that air went through tiny little capillaries into your blood cells. And then those blood cells pushed carbon dioxide out of them into your lungs. And as you exhale, that carbon dioxide comes out. And then those blood cells carry that oxygen to the cells all over your body in seconds, transferring oxygen to places where it's needed. And at the same time, you have blood cells passing through your digestive areas of your body and picking up nutrients from your food and takes those nutrients to the various parts of your body wherever they're needed. And along with that, there's various hormones circulating throughout your bloodstream, released from various organs, being taken to places where they're needed for you to respond and react to the world around you. They regulate all kinds of functions that are going on inside you. And in addition to all that, your bloodstream carries waste products away to the lungs, to the kidneys, to your digestive tract to be removed from your body. And we'll come back to this a little bit more in a moment, but in addition to all that, you have this complex immune system. Your bloodstream is full of blood cells, specialized blood cells and antibodies that protect your body, watching constantly for foreign invaders. And that's just one little piece of how our bodies operate. God designed that for us. Every part of your body is composed of millions of microscopic cells. And the cell is one of the most complex, feats of engineering, I like to call it, in existence. We don't come anywhere near this complexity and things that we build with our hands today. God designed this. And your body is made up of billions and billions of these cells, and they're constantly growing. They communicate with one another. They differentiate into different types of tissues. They die. They're removed from your body, and they're replaced with new cells constantly with processes that God built into us. And each cell contains a set of 46 chromosomes. Those chromosomes encode every protein that your body needs to make in some 20,000 different genes. And those genes actually only make up about 1.2% of all your DNA. The other 98.8%, scientists used to call junk DNA, but now we're beginning to realize, oh, actually, it's not so junk. There's lots of regulatory systems built into that DNA. There's things that we have no clue about, but 98.8% of your DNA is involved in all kinds of different regulation of how that DNA is used, which genes are activated, which are turned off, which ones are turned on in this type of cell versus that type of cell, which ones are turned on this age versus that age. It's incredible. Beyond our comprehension to understand all of this is built into every cell. Now, I always love to share this statistic. If you were to take all the DNA in one cell and stretch it out end to end, that would be about 5 feet tall. Multiply that by the approximate number of cells in your whole body, the length of your DNA in your body is about 56 billion miles long. All inside your body. Now, the point of all of this is just to marvel at the amazing creation that this body is. It's incredible what God has designed. And this human body is set apart from all the animal bodies that are very similar to us. I know some scientists who love to point out that the DNA of a chimpanzee or gorilla is about 98% identical to the human DNA. And yet, they're so different, right? And God made the human body to reflect his image. And he created it in a unique way that combines our flesh with a unique soul and a capability to think and reason in ways that only humans are able to do. There's something unique about the human body and the human form that we can marvel at when we think about what God has done. I just want to consider how resilient this body is. As I mentioned, we have this immune system capable of fighting off all kinds of illnesses and even learning from previous illnesses how to fight it off the next time you see it. I'm sure we've heard all kinds of things about antibodies over the last couple of years. And it's fascinating to me. I don't know a lot about immunology, but I know that we have certain genes within our bodies that are able to recombine and create new genes that create our antibodies. So your body, even if you don't have antibodies in your bloodstream, now has a gene to produce that specific antibody. And so if you see that virus or that bacteria again, your body will kick in and start creating that antibody again. It's amazing. We have a skin. Skin is part of our immune system, a physical barrier against all kinds of infections and diseases. And that skin has the ability to reseal itself when you cut it. Our bones are able to heal when they're broken. We take advantage of the body's amazing healing capabilities in our medical technology today all the time. Doctors intentionally cut bodies open, and they do work on the internal parts of our bodies that would cause a lot of pain and damage if they didn't do it carefully. And it does cause our bodies to be injured, right? We are producing injury to do those repairs, and then we seal it all back up and allow our body's healing capability to take over, to fully recover from those surgeries that we do. We just take advantage of the body's abilities to heal. One of the things I reflected on on this retreat is we were talking at first about the ways that we as pastors tend to abuse our bodies and we don't take care of our bodies. And there's a tendency there to start to feel guilty and some shame. But then I start to think about the fact of God's graciousness. And there's where there's a spiritual side to understanding this discipleship of the body. There's all kinds of research that shows that once we start changing our habits, start taking care of our bodies, we undo a lot of the damage that we've done. Now, not 100%, and certainly there are chronic injuries that we don't overcome, but there's a lot of repair and a lot of recovery and a lot of healing that comes when we do set ourselves back on track to following the Lord and the way that we handle our bodies. So not only is it true spiritually when we try to overcome sin and sinful thinking and sinful attitudes, that God forgives us and renews us and restores us, he does the same with our physical bodies. And this is what I wanted to really come to today, to understand and marvel at the graciousness of God. That he gives us the ability with our bodies to overcome our past sins, to be healed, to be restored, to be strengthened, to compensate where things can't be corrected, and to live fully for Him. That's God's character. He doesn't condemn us to just suffer for what we've done in the past. He offers us opportunities to restore, to discover new abilities and new ways of living. And as I said, He does this not only for our hearts and for our minds, but He does it for our bodies as well. Let's give thanks to God today for these bodies that He's given us. I'm in awe of Him as I consider all that we do know about this design that He's built into us. I was amazed this week as I thought about this recovery, this graciousness of God, that God built an immune system into our bodies before sin ever entered into the world. Before Adam and Eve ever disobeyed God, before all of the fallenness of the world ever started, God already thought about ways to help our bodies recover and heal and be restored. I'm in awe of this Creator. And as I think about the body and what we know about this, I have a greater appreciation of God's gracious love. When we recognize that we've been pursuing our own path in life, ignorant of His desires, He gives us an opportunity to take new paths, to not just be stuck where we are, but to turn back to Him and receive newness of life. He does this for us spiritually by making us a new creation, forgiving us of all of our sin. He does this for us mentally, teaching us new ways to view the world, to understand His perspective and His character, and to adopt it for ourselves. And He does this for us physically by restoring, strengthening, and healing our bodies so that we may love and serve Him mind, soul, and body. And next week, we'll dive a little bit deeper into what the Bible says about how to use our bodies to glorify the Lord. So let's give thanks today to the Lord for these bodies that He's given us and consider how we can serve Him best, body, mind, and soul. Let's pray together, and we'll close with this final song. Heavenly Father, we do give You thanks for this marvelous creation that You've given us. May we, as Your people, Lord, consider our full being when we consider how to live for You. May every part of us give You honor and glory and thanks, Lord. May we serve You with every piece of our being. Help us all to know how to best love and serve You with all of our mind, body, and strength, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.